today on Living on Every Word.
Faith in God, faith in Christ will always, always, always make a difference in the individual life of the believer, in your family, in your descendants, even in the nation. Your faith makes a difference. Faith impacts your life.
What does it mean to be a believer? Is it simply that you've accepted Christ, or is there more to it than that? In today's study, Pastor Mike Fritcher talks about the faith we're to walk in as believers, a faith that impacts every area of our lives. In this fourth study of the resurrected words of Christ, be found believing.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We are in the middle of a series on living the resurrected words of Christ. What are the statements that Christ made after he died and rose again, and the statements that he made to the disciples over a 40-day period? And one of the things that we've been looking at is this word that Jesus says to Thomas in John 20, to reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. What was Jesus responding to? He was responding to Thomas's word, where Thomas told the disciples, listen, unless I see his hands and unless I put my finger in his hand and thrust my hand into his side, then and only then will I believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I need a sign, is what he's saying. I need to touch, I need to feel, I need to see, I need to do that. And unless I see it, and unless I have it all together, and unless it all falls into place in my own understanding, then I will believe. And that's what Thomas was saying. And that's what Jesus was addressing. And I hope that that is what we are addressing in these series of messages. Addressing the fact that, listen, you don't have to have it all together. It doesn't have to all fall into place. Matter of fact, most of the time it doesn't. He asks us to believe Him. He asks us to place faith and trust in Him. Because faith and trust will bring the comfort. It will bring the power of God. It will bring the miracles. It will bring the life. It will bring the presence of God. Because, folks, we're not going to see it all until we get to heaven. We must trust. We must believe. We must walk through this life believing and putting our trust in Him so that God looks at us and says, thanks for believing me, because I am trustworthy and I am faithful. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You know, I think about these rebukes of Christ. He rebuked the Pharisees, the religious, for their hypocrisy, and then he rebuked those who believed in him for their unbelief in times of uncertainty. Those were his two great rebukes. Hypocrisy to the religious and unbelief to the believer. And that's what he's doing here with Thomas. It's a rebuke. It's a loving rebuke. But he's saying, listen, be believing. Believe me through these times. You know, I think about faith, and I think, you know, everyone believes something. Buddhists believe in Buddha, right? Muslim believes in Allah. Rich man without Christ believes in himself. A humanist believes in himself, believes in man, believes that man is good. Everybody believes something. The question is what are you believing today and what am I believing? What am I putting my faith in? Because I tell you, there's only one object of our faith, and you can look at it in a couple of ways. The first object of our faith is God Himself and His nature. When I think about God and His nature, I think about a couple of words. He is Lord, He is King, He is in control, He is sovereign, He is ever-present, He is our shepherd, He is our creator and our sustainer, our comforter and our friend. Amen? And I can believe that today and not have all the ducks in a row. I can believe in His nature. How do I believe in His nature? Because I believe His Word. I find the nature of God in His Word. And so not only do I put my faith in His nature, but I put my faith in what He says. We know His nature as creator and sustainer and comforter and sovereign King and present in our lives by His Word. It's the only way you know God. It's the only way you know of Him. It is declared by the Word of God who He is. But not only does it declare who He is, but it declares what He does. This Word is filled with promises for you and me. One of the things that just is the biggest tragedy in my mind is that how we as Christians can go a day neglecting this Word. It is the power of God, my friends. And if you're living in a dry season, if you're living in an angry season, if you're living in a doubting season, if you're in a season in your life where you don't think God is listening or God is alive or where is God, why is it like it used to be, then you need to dive back into the Word of God and get washed by it. Because this Word will change you. We believe in the promises of God. That's what we believe. That's what our faith is on. That God is a faithful God and will do what He says He will do in your life. Will you believe that today? God in His nature, God in His Word, the promises of God's Word. We believe, the Scripture speaks of, and we anticipate the promises of God. We believe that God will fulfill what He says He will fulfill no matter what happens in our life. And that's what I hold on today. I hold on to that today. When we walk through the uncertainties of faith and the things that just bombard us and we don't know why and we don't know how, it must be exercised by faith. Because sometimes, folks, you're just not going to get the sight that you want to see until you get to heaven one day. That's why Scripture says we walk by faith. We saw a couple of weeks ago when we looked at Hebrews chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the children of Israel that faith will always find rest. It will always find rest. But unbelief will always find unrest. It will. Walk in unbelief and you won't find rest for your soul. You walk in faith, you find rest. Faith always brings courage to obey. Unbelief will paralyze you and you'll not make the next step with God because of your unbelief. We also saw a couple of weeks ago that I want to share with you from this point on that faith in God, faith in Christ, will always, always, always make a difference in the individual life of the believer, in your family, in your descendants, folks, even in the nation. Your faith makes a difference. It makes a difference to how we feel. It makes a difference to how we live. Faith impacts your life. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, we find these promises of faith. Notice what he says in verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. The first thing that I want us to look about faith is that how faith impacts your life. Faith will always produce assurance, hope, and the approval of God. Always. It will always produce assurance and hope and the approval of God in your life. Because the Scripture says it's by this faith that the men of old gained approval. When I think about this passage of Scripture and I think about that first word in it, now faith is, the only way you get faith is by the Word of God. We can go to Romans chapter 10 and you can see some wonderful passage of Scriptures on faith. The Scripture says, whoever will believe will not be disappointed. Isn't that a great one? You believe in me, you won't be disappointed. Whoever believes in me will be saved, the Scripture says. Whoever believes in me will be saved. So here's the promise. The promise, if I believe, I'm not going to walk in disappointment. I'm not going to be ultimately disappointed. Now, I'm not saying that sometimes that we go through trial, we go through struggle, and we don't understand. But I want to tell you, ultimately, you stand before God, you walk by faith, you're not going to be disappointed. Because you got a salvation in your life today. You got a salvation that is more certain than anything else that any philosophy will ever, ever offer you. Scripture says that faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. I hear the Word of God. I hear His promise. I see what His nature is through Scripture. And I embrace that and I walk in agreement with it. Faith, the Scripture says, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I want to break this verse down for you for just a moment, and I'm going to read it to you as I've translated it in the Greek, okay? Faith is the nature being hoped for, the conviction of the things not yet seen. What I see in this is that I am anticipating the nature of Christ in my life. I mean, to me, that is the centerpiece of faith. It's not just me coming to Christ, getting my ticket punched, and making it to heaven by the skin of my pants. It's a belief that His nature is going to be fully formed in my life from glory to glory. So I'm anticipating that in my life. I'm anticipating that in my mind, in my heart, that Jesus Christ is being fully formed in me. God using the trials, using the struggles, using the difficulties to do this work in my life. And this is the ultimate promise of God. I am hoping for this nature. We see this in 1 John chapter 3. Please turn there with me. 1 John chapter 3. He speaks of hope. He speaks of this anticipation. And what are we hoping for? Now, let me just clarify something. That this hope that he's talking about is not just the wishing. I hope I get a raise. I hope I get that job. I hope I get that toy at Christmas. I hope I get this. I hope this works out. Whenever I say those kinds of words of hope, you know what? There may be a little expectation, but there's not a whole lot of expectation because I know that all the things that I hope for in that way, I don't get all those things. This hope is a certainty. It's an expectancy. It's something that will happen, indeed happen. Notice in chapter 3, verse 1, hope is very important to the salvation of the soul. Paul said to the Romans, you've been saved in hope. Hope is very, very connected to faith. We're saved by faith, we're saved in hope. We're saved in an anticipation of what God says He will come to do in our lives. Notice what it says. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Notice what he says. And such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Now, beloved, we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. In other words, you ain't there yet. Okay? It hasn't appeared as yet of what we shall be. Now, there is a certainty about this. Certain that right now, I'm not there yet. You're not there yet. But there's a certainty that says, we shall be there. We, he says, it has not yet appeared as yet what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. And watch verse 3, and everyone who has this hope, this anticipation fixed on him, what happens? He purifies himself just as he is pure. Hope, what does it do? It purifies you. That's what it does. It changes you. It transforms you. To anticipate the likeness of Christ means that as I believe, so it is accomplished in my life. This is the hope that you and I have. This is the assurance that faith brings. The assurance of this nature, this conviction of things not yet seen in my life. That's why Jesus said to Thomas, listen, blessed are those who have not seen. That's why he says in Hebrews, it's the conviction of things not seen. What's the conviction? The conviction is that everything that's going on in my life today, every trial, every struggle, every joy, everything, Jesus wants to use to conform us into his image. Faith will impact your life. It will give you confidence in Christ. It will give you an anticipation. And if you have an anticipation of Christ-likeness, you're being purified. And my friends, if that doesn't impact your life, what else will? It means that I become more and more like Him and less like the world. I identify more and more with the kingdom and less with the kingdom of this world. When I look at this passage of Scripture, this faith, it impacts my life. I have this assurance, I have this hope, and God is pleased with my life. We notice in this passage of Scripture that it's faith that produces good works, godly works. That's how it impacts our lives, that we do something different in this life than the world does. Notice in verse 4, he uses the illustration of Abel. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he is still speaking. I want to ask you, when you die, will your faith still be speaking? Abel offered a better sacrifice. Scripture says Cain brought a sacrifice from the field. Abel brought a sacrifice from his flocks, and God was not pleased with Cain's sacrifice, but was pleased with Abel's. Abel offers this sacrifice, God's pleased with it, Cain gets angry, and bottom line, he kills his brother. Slays his brother over it. second generation, and they're killing each other already. Walking in anger, walking in murder. Adam and Eve, who knew perfection, who knew the love of God, who knew fellowship with God unbroken, would see their son killed by another son. Why? Turn back to 1 John chapter 3. Keep your place marked. And notice what he says about Cain and Abel. Verse 12, not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? This is the reason. Because his deeds were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Righteous deeds. You look at Cain's deed. What was Cain's deed? Offered a sacrifice to God. What was the difference? The difference is that Cain did not offer it in faith. Abel did. Abel loved his brother. Cain hated him. Abel was of the righteous one. Cain was of the evil one. It's faith, folks. It's faith. It's trust. It's trusting in God. It's trusting in His Word. It's trusting in His nature, His character. We learn from this scripture that our faith will produce a godly work. And I want to ask you, is a godly work coming out of your life? Is there life change taking place? Because you see, if you move on in this passage of scripture, he goes to the next character. He goes to the next man. He says in verse 5, by Enoch, chapter 11, verse 5, Hebrews, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because he took him up. For he obtained a witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Because if you come to God, you must believe that he is, there's his nature, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him, there's his promises. So I come to God in this faith. And the Bible says that faith pleases God. It takes care of the soul. We see this in Enoch. The scripture says that he was taken up. He didn't see death. That he was pleasing to God. And ultimately, this is the reason. He walked with God. Did he walk by his own nature? No. Couldn't. He walked by faith. Because this is a passage on faith. He believed his God and he walked with his God. One day, if you're in Christ, you'll close your eyes, you'll give up your spirit, and you will be alive. Taken up because you walked by faith, because you had faith, you were pleasing to God, you had Christ in your life. And what I'm saying today is that if Christ is the centerpiece and faith is the centerpiece of my life, as I place my faith in Him, the scripture says, I walk with God. That's the impact, that's the lifestyle. And it changes. Therefore, we're no longer run after the things of this world. We no longer walk after what the world walks after to find peace and life. We find it through Him. And that's what Enoch did. Enoch was taken up and he did not see death. Enoch also was given a life message. And that life message was seen through his walk. What does it mean to walk with God? What does it mean to walk with Him? I'm glad you asked. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 if you would. Ephesians chapter 4, very familiar passage of scriptures about the walk. But notice what it says. If faith produces this work ethic of good works, of godliness, it pleases God. If we see it through Enoch's life, if Enoch was pleasing to God, he believed and he walked. He walked by his faith. Ephesians 4:1 says to the church, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. We're to walk according to this calling in our lives. Notice how we walk. We walk with humility and gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. You know what I believe? I believe that's how Enoch walked. I mean, if you want to be consistent in Scripture, if Enoch walked with God, this is the way he walked. This is what came forth from his life because of his faith. He had assurance, he had hope, he had godly works coming forth from his life. Notice in verse 17, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardness of their heart. They have become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you didn't learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self, which is the likeness of God. It's been created in righteousness, holiness, and truth. Therefore, lay aside falsehood. Speak truth to one another, for you're members of one another. Be angry, but don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. If you're stealing, steal no longer, but labor. Perform with your own hands what is good, so that you'll have something to share with one who's need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Literally, that's no rotten word, but only such a word is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love. Walk in love. You know, it's amazing to me, and it always goes back to the love walk. Always, always, always. That's why I think it's been a very significant year in our body as we've talked about loving well. Loving well our God and loving our neighbor as ourselves, whether near or whether far. Because you see, folks, faith will impact your life to walk this way. If you're a man given to evil things that come out of your mouth, if you can walk by faith, evil things will no longer come out of your mouth. I just believe that. Rotten words, cuss words, gossip, grumblings. But instead, you're looking to edify people, looking to build people up and not tear down. And not to be so selfish about what you're going through, to be able to give things away. To give the life of God away. This is the walk. You know, I think about Enoch. He was taken up. He didn't see death. He was pleasing to God. He walked with God. And that gave him a life message. Do you know you have a life message? What is your life message? What is the message that comes forth from your life? It's the very purpose that God has given to you. If you'll go to Jude, just real briefly, Jude, verse 14. Okay. There's only one chapter. Jude, verse 14. Remember, Enoch is faithful, he's walking with God, and yet he has a life message. And notice what it says. It was about these men that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones." And this is what Enoch is saying to his contemporaries. God's coming. He is coming, and he's coming to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And these are grumblers, fault finders, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining advantage. This was his message, that he's coming to execute judgment, and he's also coming to convict. Now, I love the hope of this. You know what their hope is in this? That if I'm one of these people who walk in grumbling and fault-finding, and follow after my own lusts, and speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining advantage, I have a promise that God's going to come and going to convict me of it and give me the opportunity to change. Exercise faith and believe the promises of God. If God's going to come and convict you and convict me of where we are or where we're not, don't you think that He's also going to come with the power of His Spirit and the power of His life to change you? I don't want to preach a gospel that says, listen, yeah, you get to come, but you get to keep getting your head beat in. Good news is good news. And Enoch had a life message. And I'm going to tell you, you have a life message. Enoch, to me, is a type and shadow of the believer. And it's to bring conviction to the lost and encouragement to the church. And you might not ever say a word. It's just you're living your life message out before people. You're doing it in your honesty. You're doing it in your faithfulness. You're doing it in your consistency, the consistency of words, the consistency of your faith. It's the power of God in your life. Faith impacts the soul. It impacts your life. It gives you assurance. It gives you hope. It gives you godliness. It gives you a life message. It pleases God. It takes care of your soul. Faith impacts your life. If it impacts your life, it will impact your family. You have another illustration in Hebrews 11, and I'm going to just walk through this very quickly. Notice back in Hebrews 11, by faith, verse 7, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark, watch this, for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Scripture says he built an ark. I want to ask you, Daddy, Mama, are you building an ark today through the heritage of Christ for the salvation of your household? So that when the flood comes in their lives and when the turmoil comes in their lives, they have this hope that you had. It comes to impact your sons and your daughters. It comes to impact them in a mighty way so that they have assurance and hope. They have this life that's producing good things from faith. That they're walking their salvation out. Their soul is being taken care of. And you're demonstrating and you're modeling before them assurance and hope and what it means to please God. They see your lifestyle and your consistency. They don't see hypocrisy. They see faith. They see belief. And I ask you, you're walking in this kind of faith today. Because I want to tell you, I believe with all my heart that's what the grace of God is for. That's what the power of God is for. So that it impacts your family. And men, that's why you and I are called to lead and to serve. So that our children can see the leadership of God in our lives and the faith. And as you do that, you will build an ark for the salvation of your household. And instead of your children imitating you in a negative way, they start imitating you in a positive way. All God asks us to do is believe it. Believe the promise of God and you'll see the fruit that comes forth from your life. It'll impact your family. It'll also impact your descendants. I've often said this. And I'm not just looking to when I'm 70 or 80 or 90 years old when I die. I'm looking to 150 to 200 years. Children's, children's, children. And the heritage I'm leaving today by living a life of faith. It'll impact your descendants. We see this in the promise to Abraham. Notice in verse 12. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him, that's Abraham, as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of the heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. One man of faith would have one son, where millions of people would be born and would be impacted by the faith of Father Abraham. It'll impact your descendants. I believe also, according to this passage of Scripture, that faith impacts nations. Your faith can not only impact your life, but it'll impact your family, it'll impact your descendants, it'll impact nations. I believe we've seen that over the last 5 years at Cottonwood. To have the ability to say, not only do we see faith impacting locally in our lives, but we see it across the ocean. If we had time, we'd look at Moses and how Moses, by faith, called by God, decided, I'm not going to walk after Egypt anymore, I'm going to walk after God. And therefore, he was stripped of everything of this life. And what did Moses do? He led a nation from captivity. I believe if your faith impacts your life, it'll impact nations. Don't waste your life putting your faith in the market. In making a buck, in having a career. There's nothing wrong with making a buck, and there's nothing wrong with having a career. But if faith in God is not the centerpiece of your life, it will destroy you. Put your faith in Him and watch God use you to impact a world for Christ. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that?
Mike Fritcher is the pastor of Cottonwood Baptist Church near Dublin, Texas. If you would like to hear this broadcast or any other sermons from our audio library, or if you feel led to support this ministry, please visit us online at livingoneveryword.org.